But I want to talk today about being fully equipped. So, Monday, I guess it was, something like that. It might have been Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. I had the computer out, and somebody had some tools for sale. I don't remember all the details, but it seemed like a pretty comprehensive set of tools. There was skill saws, or skill saw, there was a reciprocating saw, there was a saber, not a saber saw, a rotozip saw, there was a Hilti drill, and a nailer, and a table saw, and just a whole bunch of saws, or a whole bunch of tools, and also included a full mechanics tool set. All of this for $600. Now, I have a lot of those things, and I also don't have $600 sitting around without a reason, you know, without, or that doesn't have a better use. We'll put it that way. So, of course, I wasn't going to buy it, but I got to thinking, what with that amount of tools and those things, you could build a house. You could, you know, you could do pretty much anything you wanted to do. And then I remembered something that I'd seen online, seen on YouTube. Take a look at the picture on the front of your bulletin. Has anybody ever seen that? So, I'm watching, actually I pulled it up again last night to look at it. And there's two guys, and they have a stick about 3.5 feet long. On one end, it's cut down at an angle, so it's kind of sharp. And the other end is just round. And these two guys with these two sticks and some baskets that they had made from weaving like palm fronds cut into the side of a hill and, you know, opened up a nice flat place, and then farther into the hill, went in and cut in and started opening out this cave. And then once they got the cave, you know, the main door into the cave going in and got a good sized room in there, and they're hauling out the dirt and hauling out the dirt. Then one goes in and starts cutting in little windows. Can you see it in the picture yet? Then they keep going. And once they get it all just the way they, just the house in the side of this hill, the inside the way that they want it, then they go and they have another tool. And this other tool is a piece of wood about, I don't know, 15 inches long. And at the end is a very small piece of metal. Like a, you know what the paint scraper looks like? You got the little handle with the metal for paint scrapers. So it looks kind of like that little piece of steel, piece of iron, piece of metal or whatever, sticking out of the bottom. And with that, they go and begin cutting down bamboo and then splitting the bamboo. So that house that you see right there is what two guys have made using a stick about 3.5 feet long, a stick about 12 inches long, 15 inches long with a piece of metal on it, and a couple of baskets that they made from weaving leaves together. And then, after they got it all beautiful, they made two pools. They made two little swimming pools right there, right in front, and where they'd cut that out. And they did all of this with a couple of sticks. Okay, so a big set of tools for $600 that you could build a house with, or two sticks in a basket that you could build a house with. Which person's fully equipped? One who knows what they're doing. The one who has a confidence in what they're doing. 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 14, says, "But you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are fully equipped. We have everything that we need. The question is, do we know how to use the things that we have? Have we practiced with the things that we've been given? Do we understand the scriptures? Do we read the scriptures to make them part of our lives? Do we live them out? Are we master craftsmen who are not only fully equipped, but are also comfortable knowing that God is at work through us? Or do we just look, oh yeah, here's this great little set of tools, I just never do anything with them. You can have that great big set of tools, all the saws, the hammers, the nailers, everything, all that stuff, the master craftsman tool set, and not use any of it, and it be absolutely useless to you. Just a good way to spend $600. Or you can have, recognize that whatever tools you have, whatever God has given you, is sufficient for the task that's ahead of us, if we will begin to put it to use. I remember one time many, many years ago, me and my brother and my cousin, or my brother and my uncle. I have a brother 14 months younger than I am, and I had an uncle 13 months older than I am. So even though I'm the oldest, I got treated like the middle kid sometimes. But we were going to build a fort. And rather than all, drawn out things, I had a hammer and a milk carton full of nails and a saw. And that was all we needed to build a fort. Being able to use the tools that you have, regardless to how they stack up to somebody else's tools. When you're able to use the tools that you have, you can become proficient. What's the difference between a master craftsman and an amateur? Experience, patience, and confidence is the only difference. We were able to use the tools that we have to be recognized that we are fully equipped by God to do whatever task is in front of us. Then we have a confidence of knowing that God will direct us. In Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11, talking about Jesus, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, there's a nice long passage there, but what it basically says is that people in positions of ministry were put there for the purpose of equipping and encouraging the saints, so that we all grow together, because each and every one of us is important. Each and every one of us is given gifts by God for purposes that include edifying and strengthening one another and growing in confidence and faith. Recognizing that God is directing, recognizing that God is leading us. And that each and every one of us is important. It's important that we know how to do the things that God has called us to do. It's important that we put our faith in practice. It's important that we share one with another, that we encourage one another, that we lift one another up, that we pray one for another. These things are important because none of us get to heaven all by ourselves. You know, there is nothing that I can do to make me good enough to go to heaven. I have to rely on Jesus. There is nothing that I can do to make me self-sufficient in this world. Not going to happen. You've heard the saying, no man is an island. You know, the biblical version of that. None of us live unto themselves, and to be sure, none of us die unto ourselves. Paul said that. that we are entwined, that we are necessary one to another. We are in community with one another. We are part of the body of Christ to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to lift one another up. But if we never begin using the gifts that God has given us, if we never begin putting His Word to practice in our lives, if we don't realize that God has given us everything we need, He's given, trying to remember where it says it, that God has given us everything needed pertaining to life and godliness. We got everything we need. Sometimes we feel helpless. Sometimes we feel like we're missing something. Sometimes we feel like we're insignificant or not important enough. Sometimes we feel like we got the short end of the stick. Honest, each and every one of us does. Sometimes. But God has uniquely gifted and created you for His plan and His purpose. He's placed us right here in this time in history. We talked about that before. He could have placed us any time. But He has us here right now. We look out in the world around us. Jerry talked about some of the things going on with the youth that he sees there where he works. We see the shortcomings in the world around us. We see how, you know, there's a lack of hope. There's a lack of understanding. We've gone two generations now teaching kids that they were a mistake. That, you know, couple of cells just happened to get together in a pool somewhere and started life. That's what people are being taught. Evolution. You started with, you know, a clump of nothing. A couple of minerals that just happened to be in the pond. In some slime somewhere. And began life. And that's what's being taught in schools. We're taught that there is no absolute truth. That everything is relative. Well, that could be right for you, but it's not right for me. Or that could be wrong for you, but it's not wrong for me. No. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Regardless. We look at a society where people are treated differently based on how much money they have, based on their connections, based on whatever. You read the Bible, that's not new. It's been going on for a long time. God said, don't do it. So as we take the tools that we have and recognize that God has fully equipped us for the world that we're in, we've fully equipped us for this time in history, we're fully equipped for the job that He has for us, recognize that we have an opportunity to become master craftsmen with the tools that He has given us. Not to just set things on a shelf, not to just leave things by the roadside. But to use what God has given us, whatever that happens to be. You have the ability to look at somebody that's getting on your nerves and smile. Imagine the difference that makes in somebody's life. Sometimes a smile is all it takes to turn somebody's day around. Sometimes a kind gesture is all it takes to turn somebody's day around. To change the atmosphere of where we are. We are fully equipped because God has equipped us. He has called each and every one of us special, and He's called us for a special purpose. But He's given us what we need. The question is, do we put these things to use? 1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 38. So, the Philistines are up against the children of Israel, the armies of Israel. Saul is the king. Philistines have their champion out there. He's a big boy. We call him Goliath. And he's challenging the armies of Israel. And David says, I'll go up against him. Not because of who I am, but God is going to take care of me. How can you let him defy the armies of God? Saul says, okay. Verse 38, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag. In a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. Stop right there for just a minute. Saul was the king. Saul's armor was the best in the land. Saul's sword was the best in the land. And he put them on David. And David says, I can't use these things. I've never tested them. I don't know how. But this is what I know. David went into battle with a staff and a sling and 5 smooth stones. He went in with what he knew. He was proficient. He was a master craftsman using the tools that he was familiar with. Because he'd gotten familiar with, he'd learned to use the things. Or do we learn to use the things that God has given us? Do we learn to use patience? Lord, I don't want patience. Yeah, you have to have patience. But do we learn to put it to use? The things that God has given us, do we learn to put them to use? Because it makes an impact where we go. It makes an impact in other people's lives. When they see God working through us, when they see us acting different than the people around us, being patient, smiling, being kind, being generous, things that they don't see from the rest of the world. Why are you different? Well, I used to be just like everybody else, but one day I come to realize that there's a God out there who really loves me, and He's been at work in my life. Any good you see in me, you see because of Jesus, because by myself, I'm a mess. I tell people that all the time. No. I said, okay, I'll put it another way. I only pretend to be a nice guy because it throws people off. In me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. But the God of creation who loved me and He's working on me. He's changing me. That's any good anybody sees in me. And any good anybody sees in any of us. And God is at work through us. So He goes on. The sling was in his hand as he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save by sword and by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. So David said, I'm going to cut your head off. What did David take into battle? A staff and a sling. Which of those can you use to cut somebody's head off? Neither of them. He said, not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to use your own weapons against you. But notice how the Philistine had disdained him. He looked at him and said, you're insignificant, you don't even count. David said, I'm coming to you because the Lord, that's what God has put on my heart. God is going to do this. When people look at us and they consider us insignificant, they disdain us. Do we allow it to bother us? Or do we recognize that God is still in control? It doesn't matter what other people think. Are we willing to be proficient in what God has given us, recognizing that we are fully equipped for the task at hand? We are fully equipped for the day that we face. We are fully equipped in the power of God to do whatever it is He's put on our hearts. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter whether or not it makes sense. If God has put it on our hearts, God will make the way for it to happen. And we can see God working in so many different ways. Ron mentioned it a little while ago about having an unexpected bill followed by an unexpected check. Praise God. God is doing things, whether we see what He's doing or not, whether we recognize God working or not. But He has equipped us and He has blessed us and He is guiding us in each circumstance. He is at work in us. And He has given us all that we need pertaining to life and godliness. He has equipped us for every good work. The question is, do we exercise the talents and the provision of God in our life to make a difference in the lives of others? Or do we put these tools on a shelf and leave them alone? Are we confident enough in what God is doing in our lives that we're willing to step out in faith, trusting that if God has called us to do it, He's going to make the way for it to happen? Sometimes we have to do that. We have to step out in ways that don't seem to make a lot of sense. Sometimes we have to be willing to be the one to stand up and say, that's not right. Be willing to stand up and say, you're valuable. Be willing to stand up and say, Jesus loves you. Be willing to stand up and say that there is a God in heaven. Be willing to stand up, whatever God has placed on our heart, be willing to open our mouths and say it. Not to worry about whether or not we're going to be ridiculed, disdained, mocked. None of that matters. Every day we have on this earth, however many days those happen to be, is still a finite number. However many we are, however many days we have, is how many days we have. You know, all of our days are written in the book before ever any of them were. God knows exactly how long we're going to live. But in the meantime, we are called to occupy. We are called to be busy. We are called to be about the Master's business. And He has equipped us to do the things that He's called us to do. Jude, which only has one chapter, verse 17 says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in this last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts." Sound familiar? "These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit." Look and see it all around us. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Jude is Jesus' brother, by the way. Jude is telling the people, build yourself up, encourage yourself, step out, use the tools that God has given you. "On some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Jude says, God is able to make you stand. God is able to equip you and to help you and strengthen you, regardless of what's going on around you. He says, in these last days, you see that there's going to be turmoil on every side. There's going to be, how's it worded? People who walk, mockers in the last day, who walk according to their own ungodly lusts. There are going to be people who stand against you. There's going to be people who try to make your life difficult. There are going to be opposition. Jesus said at one point, in this world you will have tribulation. Not you might have. Not things could get rough from time to time. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He is the one who strengthens us. So we shouldn't be surprised when things happen. We should look at it as an opportunity to stand in the faith that He has given us. An opportunity to be a bold witness. May not change anybody else's mind. It may not change anybody else's perspective. But you know what? Being a faithful witness is important, regardless of what anybody else says or anybody else does. Last passage, Romans 12, beginning with verse 3. Says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, so all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. And he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul's saying right there to use the gifts that God has given you. To become proficient. To become master craftsmen with the tools God has equipped you with. Because it's important to strengthen the entire body. We need one another. We are encouraged by one another. We are strengthened by one another. We have to have one another. But the way we do that is to use what God has given us. To do what God has equipped us to do. And it becomes a blessing to the people around us. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have fully equipped us. That you have given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That, Father, that you are at work in us. That as you've given your gifts to us, Father, that you give us gifts, you give us skills, you give us abilities, Lord. And you do it for the purpose that we are to strengthen and encourage one another. And regardless of what they are, that each one is important. Each one is valuable to the body of Christ. Each one is important to our brothers and sisters. Each one is important to the edifying of the body of Christ. Because it makes us faithful witnesses. Help us, Lord, to become master craftsmen using the tools that you have given us. That we're not intimidated by any task, that we're not intimidated by any circumstance. Because we know that you are the one who guides, you are the one who provides. And you are the one who directs. So help us, Father, as we stand in faith. Help us, Father, as we encourage ourselves. Help us, Lord, as we strengthen one another. Help us, Father, as we pray and build ourselves up, build the body up. Help us, Lord, to be joined together, building the body of Christ in this little congregation, but in the body as a whole. That we encourage one another, we strengthen one another as we become part of one another. We thank you, Father, that you equip us. We thank you, Lord, that you guide us. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.